You're good. If you would go with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 2, and I know that over the last several weeks we have heard several different messages in regards to the Christmas season and in regards to Luke chapter 2, and this morning I'd like to just share a few thoughts and just a few simple things that hopefully will be an encouragement and a time of just evaluating and seeing some realities. And hopefully some learning from God's Word this morning. We definitely, our desire is to have the Spirit of God lead us into some truths this morning that will be something that will be beneficial to our lives. One of the things that I noticed in as we traveled and as you go through the journey of the Christmas season, you see different reactions and different responses to what's going on. And some people just really enjoy it and just embrace the full season in every aspect of it, right? How many of you are shoppers? You just love Christmas shopping. How many of you like to Christmas shop? Man, I didn't know the ladies were going to lie this morning in church. Okay, good. All right. I know that there's several that do. Okay, maybe not everybody. I'm just kidding. Hopefully, some people just embrace the shopping. How many of you just love tamale season? How many of you love tamale season? All right, we got some more honest people. All right, good. How many of you just love Christmas cookie and goodie season? How many of you like that? Christmas goodie and that kind of stuff. I'm a sweet tooth, so I'm a big fan of all that kind of good stuff. And so the different parts of the Christmas season we embrace here in South Texas, the part we don't embrace is winter. We just don't embrace it for whatever reason. I saw the high today was going to be 88, and definitely not the nice fresh Christmas that some of us were waiting for, unfortunately. But it's good to be in the house of the Lord and to on a warm Christmas day embrace certain aspects of it. Before I do jump into the message, it's my fault because I'm a one-man circus juggling and here. In the welcome time, I should have welcomed our friends and my friends from Indiana. It's the Moffitt family, and I'm not going to name them all. They've been here on other occasions, but let's give a warm welcome to the Moffitt family. To have them. And that one but it's good to have them. They're here with us for a couple of weeks at the camp. They help us out immensely in doing a lot of work, different projects. So they've been friends of the camp for many years, and we count them as some of our greatest and closest personal friends, and we cherish the fact that they're able to spend Christmas with us and New Year's. We told them not to bring the cold that they had up there, which when they left, it was 1 degree, if I'm not mistaken, in Connersville, Indiana. But I didn't mention that they could bring some of the cold with them, but they didn't bring any of it with them, so it was unfortunately their fault that it's 88 degrees today. So, but it's good to be to have them with us here this morning. But there's different responses to Christmas season, different responses to what goes on in this time of the year. We heard a message not so long ago, those of us that were in the English class, about some of the responses or the response that Herod had. And it got me thinking, and so this morning I'd like to just look at some of the main characters of the Christmas occasion and the birth of Jesus. And I'd like us to just ponder and think, and that's all we're going to do here in the next 10 or 15 minutes, is just look and evaluate at the responses to Christ's birth. You know, our reaction about a situation says a lot about where our heart is in regards to that situation. And at Christ's birth, we're able to get a chance and to check at several of the responses that these people, these main characters, had in the Bible. But it's also a time and an occasion for us to reflect at our responses in regards to Christ and Christ's birth. And what that means for us, even this morning, 2016, maybe 14. There's some scholars that will say that Jesus was born at 4 B.C. or 4 A.D., but there's an argument there. But let's go with the traditional, the fact that it was zero, right? I mean, you look at history, it's divided. I was talking with my children yesterday about the importance of Jesus' birth. Today, historians have, in the last, I don't know, probably 20, 30 years, have tried to rewrite how we do history. But it's amazing that we cannot divide the fact, or we cannot hide the fact that literally history is divided from Christ's birth one way and Christ's birth the other way. And when we say it's the year 2016, we are literally saying it's 2016 years since this occasion of Luke chapter 2 that night. It's amazing. It's an amazing fact. It's an amazing reality. But as we look at that, as we look at that occasion, as you look at that moment, You look at what happened in different responses and different occasions. So let's begin in Luke chapter 2 and verse number 8. And I'm going to read, first of all, this first occasion in which we are able to see how a reaction to this situation shows us the heart, shows us also, and it gives us a glimpse into where that person or that character's heart or mind is at. He's at this morning. And in Luke chapter 2, verse number 8, it says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there were with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for this morning. We thank you for your word and the truths that we find in it. We thank you, Father, that we don't have a portion of truth, but we have all your truth in your word, and that we can rest on the promises and on the truths that we find in it. Father, there is no greater truth, there is no greater foundation on which we can establish our lives than on your word. And Father, I pray, Lord, that your Spirit would guide me and lead all of us. As we open our hearts to your word, may your Spirit do the work that only he can do in each heart. Father, thank you for this Christmas. Thank you, Father, for the Christmas of 2016 years ago, in which you chose to take on the form of flesh, and what that life of that little baby child meant for the world, for us, what it meant for us. Father, may we examine that reality this morning. May we see some truths through these reactions that we see. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. As a parent, one of the things that I continually stress with my kids is to have proper reactions to circumstances. It's one of those things that it's a really good quiz. It's a test as to where they are. I don't encourage this, but I saw a couple of videos, YouTube videos of Jimmy Kimmel, and every Halloween he does this thing where he asks parents to tell their kids that they ate their Halloween candy the night before, and there's different reactions from these children, right? And it's amazing because you can see through their reaction kind of what kind of personality they have, kind of what kind of heart they have, and that kind of stuff. I remember one that just captured my attention because obviously the natural reaction is the one that you would normally see in a child would be complete and utter devastation, anger, falling apart. And I remember just this one child that just captured my amazement because when the mom told this, I think it was a boy, a young boy, and he told her, the mom told the boy, "Listen, I ate all your Halloween candy last night," and the boy said, "Oh, okay, mom, well, as long as you're happy, that's what I like. That's what I like." Man, it was just like, man, that guy is amazing. That kid is amazing. Good job, parents. But as parents, reactions tend to give us some insight as to where our children are at. Well, in this story of the birth of Jesus Christ, we see different reactions. And we see that these reactions reveal something, but it also helps us to see what our reaction is to the reality of this season, of this moment, of this day, Christmas Day. It says in the Word of God in Luke chapter 2 and verse number 8, it says that there were these shepherds that were in the field, and they were keeping watch over the flock, and the angels appeared unto them, and they came to them, and they give them this news. And so the first response that I want us to look at is the angel's response. The angel's response to the birth of Christ was an amazing response. It says in verse number 10, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." The first response that we see is one from the angels. It's a joyful response. This is the greatest night type of response is what they were coming to say to these shepherds. Man, can you imagine all the angels, these angels in heaven, God's ultimate plan being somewhat known to them? Because even we see in Scripture that the angels don't know all every timing of God's plan, though they know what will the eventuality of God's plan. They don't know the exact timing. Can you imagine when all of a sudden they realized that this was the night when God's Son, the birth of God's Son, Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, had taken place. And what an amazing thing. And here, God takes this angel and He commissions him to go and tell these shepherds the story. And what we see coming out of this angel is just a joyful response. What an exciting night. What an exciting event. What an exciting occasion. It meant something exciting for them because he had a view of God that only angels could have. He had a view of God's plan that angels had the privilege of seeing. On the other side of heaven, on the other side where we see that only God and His angels existed at that time, at that moment. And then there in that heaven, God sends and commissions these angels to go and give these shepherds the great news of this great occasion taking place. And it's a joyful response that we see from the angels. But we go on and we see the shepherd's response. It says in verse number 15, it says, "And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away, once that one angel gave the news, the multitude showed up. They began singing and praising God." In verse number 14, singing, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." I can't wait to sing that chorus, that song one day with the angels. What a joyful experience that will be. But we see that they sing the song and they leave. And it says, "And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." Jump down to verse number 20. It says, "And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them." We see in response to Christ's birth from the shepherds, it's a night-changing, routine-changing response. It's a night-changing, routine-changing occasion for them. Christ's birth was something different for them. It wasn't just things as regular, routine, things as normal. It wasn't business as usual for them that night. If you understand the shepherds living, they had to watch over these sheep. They had to be very careful with these sheep. These sheep meant millions, thousands of dollars worth of investment. And this was their entire livelihood. And to leave those sheep unattended was unheard of, unthinkable. There was all sorts of dangers and damages that could take place. But see, for the shepherds at that moment, Christ's birth meant something different. It was a change of routine. It was a life-changing, night-changing occasion. It was a time that all of the normal stuff that took place in their life was going to change. I wonder for you and for me if Christ's birth means that to us. If it's a routine-changing occasion. If it's a life-changing occasion, when we come to realize who that child was and what he meant and what that difference, that life was going to mean for all of humanity and what it was going to mean for you and for me, for our eternal destiny. Oh, for the shepherds, it was a night-changing, routine-changing occasion. Their response was one. And look at what it said. It says in verse number, if you go on there, you see a verse. Let's go back to verse 16. "And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told to them concerning this child." It was a sharing experience. It was a make it known experience. All of a sudden, it was a response of, man, this is amazing. I've got to tell somebody. And you ever had those experiences of, I just got to tell somebody? The other day, I was driving along the road where we live at, and a rattler came across the road. Every now and then, we come across these, but man, it was a big, huge rattler, and I ran over it. And if you know anything about rattlesnakes, so sometimes they don't die the first time. So I ran over it. It's like the gospel right now. No, I'm just kidding. I ran over it, ran away, and then I backed over it again, ran into the bushes. And so I jumped down because I was convinced I was not going to let this one go because many have got away. And so I jump out of my vehicle because I'm going to go trace it down. And I jump out of my vehicle. As soon as I jump out, I noticed that it was coiled up about 3 feet away. I jumped right back in. So I realized that I was a little too close. So I backed up a little bit. And then I went and got a branch and I started harassing it because I knew I didn't have a weapon with me at the time, unfortunately. That's a sin. But I didn't have a weapon with me at that time, and so I rattled it up, wanted to get it real agitated and stuff, because I knew it would stay there. My house was about 200 yards away, so once I had it sufficiently rattled up, I ran to the house, grabbed my shotgun, came back. I was all by myself. It was in the evening, no other cars, nobody else around, and so Enrique was there shooting earlier in the day. I called him, but he was there, already left, unfortunately, and so I had to come back. I'm like, oh Lord, please let it be there still, and it was there. It was all pulled up. I grabbed my shotgun and I shot it two times, and then I got back in my car and I was leaving. I was like, man, I'm not going to be able to tell anybody about this. So I got my iPhone out and I started recording myself, and I'm like, this is what happened, and then I got back where the snake was, because I was going to videotape it, and it was still moving. I'm like, oh no. So I had to go back to my car, I get the shotgun again, I shot it a third time, and that time it stopped moving. But as soon as I got home, man, I had to share that. Man, my wife, I was like, look at the big, look, and she's like, I can't see anything, it's dark. And I'm like, no, can't you see the snake, look. And so it was an experience that I just had to share. You know, for these shepherds, this night was something that changed their life. This occasion, their response was one of a make-it-known response, of a sharing response. This was something that changed their life. It captivated their imagination. It was something that was amazing. They had to share. They had to share. See the angel's response. We see the shepherd's response. But I want to go back to something there in verse number 17. It says, and when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told to them concerning this child. And verse number 18 says, and all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. This, we only have a category that we can label them as the hearers. That's all we have is the hearers. Doesn't give us a name. Doesn't tell us whether they were the innkeepers, whether they were people walking the streets. They were just somebody. They were people. And they heard the news. And the Bible says, all it records is that they wondered at those things. The hearer's response was one of wonder. Another translation says they marveled at it from a distance. Interesting that some people, they come to Christ and Christ's birth, and they come to the life of Christ, and they marvel at it from a distance. Something that captivates their imagination, captivates their attention for a while, but from a distance. You know, I'm always weary of people that come and I talk to them about the things of the Lord, and it seems that some things of the things of God and some things of the Christian walk, they're interesting to them from a distance. They don't want to get too close. I wonder sometimes if we wouldn't know their names, had they been also as excited as the shepherds and ran to the manger? Well, why didn't they? What held them back from going and seeing that Christ child? Yeah, they didn't get to hear the angels. They didn't see the angels on that hillside that night. But they had somebody to tell them the good news. They had somebody to relay to them the message. You know, today there's a lot of people relaying the message of Christ and what He did and what His life meant. And others that stand at a distance and wonder, marvel from a distance. The hearer's response was one of wonder, but from a distance. But we see also in verse number 19 it says, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. We see Mary's response was one of treasure. That word there, pondered, it correlates also with that first part of verse number 19. Mary kept all these things. She kept them. It was a treasured thought. It was a treasured place. It was something deep down in her heart that meant a lot to her. Yes, this was her child. Any mother here would relate to you that they remember that first view of their baby. I've been in all four of my births of my four children, and I can tell you that there is no more amazing look than a mother gives to that child the very first time she laid eyes on him. She labored for him, for her. She put up with 9 months of all sorts of changes and things taking place in her life for that moment and that occasion of giving that life, that child life. And at that moment, there's a connection, there's a special bond But for Mary, it was on so many more greater levels, because for Mary, she knew that that was not just her child that she was giving birth to, but that that was the Son of God. And for can you imagine, this is the ending of 9 months of going back and tracing and remembering that time when the angel said, "Guess what? You're pregnant." And her saying, "No, I'm not." And him saying, "Yes, God has chosen you to be that special person that in all of eternity there will only be one in which God will place in your womb that special child. You will give a virgin birth that only one will take place." Oh, but Mary's response was one of treasuring. When it says there that she pondered them in her heart, it meant that she kept them in her heart. Christ's birth was something of utmost special. And we would understand this in a maternal sense. We would understand this in a motherly sense. But I think it will go much beyond that, as we see throughout Mary's life, that she understood that this child was never truly hers. It was the Son of God. It was the Son of humanity that would give a humanity, humankind, the only hope that they would ever find in all of existence would be through that child, that Son of God, that she kept in her arms that wonderful night. Mary's response was one of being treasured, of pondering on it, keeping it close to her heart. Look with me in verse number 16. It says, "And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph." Interesting. We find in all the passage this one time that Joseph is mentioned here. I find it amazing because it reminds me of the fact that Joseph's response to Christ's birth was one of obedience and humility. He was willing to obey God. You know that he had all the right and all the reasons to possibly doubt Mary. He had all the reason. In fact, we find in a previous passage that before the angel appeared to him, he was humbly willing to do what was the right, the nice thing to do, not the right thing, not the normal thing to do when you were espoused, when you were engaged to be married, and somebody and your fiance came out pregnant. There was all sorts of bad responses that could take place, and Joseph was trying to take the path of just the humblest, nicest way to deal with it, but. And then when the angel came and he was willing to listen and believe God and obey God, we find him here this night, 9 months later, and we find him being obedient to God. His response was one of obedience. I wonder this Christmas, as we celebrate Christ's birth, as we examine our own lives, I wonder if we say, how was my response to Christ's birth? Is it like Joseph's? Is it one of obedience? Am I where I'm supposed to be? You know, this was where he was supposed to be, but any one of us could have said, "Yeah, I understand that there's some doubts. I understand he felt in an awkward situation. What did the people around him think? What did those that didn't believe what the angel said? And what about those that cast a shadow of doubt on him, on her? What about the way he felt? He could have ran away. He could have said, no, I'm not the person for this. But no, he had an obedient spirit. His response to Christ's birth was one of obedience. He was there. He was there. See, we see these different responses to Christ's birth, and it helps us to examine and see our own selves. Let's go to Matthew 2, and we'll finish there. In Matthew 2, we find the same period of time. We find the same scenario, the same occasion. And in that time, we see, first of all, we see that there are these wise men. It says in Matthew 2 and verse 1, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen the star of the east and are come to worship him." These wise men, their reaction, their response to the Christ's birth was one of action. It was one of fulfillment of God's promises. It required them to go and worship. It required them, not only that, go with me on forward there. And it says in verses 10 and 11, "When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh." They brought him the best. You see, their response to Jesus' birth was one of action. It was one that required to them to go and worship. It required them to bring their best to this Christ child. And they knew they had to do it. And they did it. That was their response. That was their response to the birth of Christ. I wonder if that's our response. If that Christ child, and obviously you're here this morning, hopefully because of that. Because that Christ child means that you must go, you must worship, you must bring your best to the altar. Because you know that that is what that child deserves. Because he's not just any child. Amen. He is the Christ child.
Amen.
The Savior of the world.
Amen.
What a fitting response. What a fitting action. What a fitting way to take place. But let's finish by looking at one negative. We see in Herod. Matthew chapter 2 and verse number 3, it says, "And when Herod, the king, had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him." You know, this morning, there's many people that look at Christ's birth, and it's troubling to them. It's a bother to them. Oh, that Christmas season, and all that it comes with, and all that it represents, and the centerpiece of it, which is Christ Jesus, is a troubling thing for them, and they have a troubling response. They have a bothered response. Oh, may we look at this Christmas season, may we examine our hearts and our lives, and may we see our response not only to Christ's birth, but to his perfect life that he lived 33 and a half years, to his perfect death on a cross on a hillside named Calvary, and to his wonderful and glorious resurrection 3 days later. May we examine our response to Christ. And may we use this Christmas season to say, how's my heart? What's my response? Let's pray.
Father, we do thank you, Lord, for this.